యమునా తీరావన చారి యమునా తీరావన చారి జయ రాధ మాధవ కుంజ బిహారీ గోపీ జన వల్లభ గిరివర ధారీ జయ రాధ మాధవ కుంజ బిహారీ గోపీ జన వల్లభ గిరివర ధారీ జయ రాధ మాధవ కుంజ బిహారీ గోపీ జన వల్లభ గిరివర ధారీ జయ హరినామ సంకీర్తన కి ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 20, entitled Pure Devotional Service. Text number 19 for discussion today. Dharyamanam manoyarhi Brahmyadashuvanavasthitam Atandrito nurodhena మార్గేణాత్మవశం నయేత్ ధార్యమాణం మనోయర్హి భ్రామ్యద్దాశు అనవస్థితం అతంద్రితోనురోధేన మార్గేణాత్మవశం నయేత్ ధార్యమాణం మనోయర్హి భ్రామ్యాదాశు అనవస్థితం అతంద్రితోనురోధేన మార్గేణాత్మవశం నయే. ధార్యమాణం మనోయర్హి భ్రామ్యదాశ్వనవస్థితం అతంద్రితోనురోధేన మార్గేణాత్మవశం నయేత్. ధార్యమాణం మనోయర్హి మదచిస్ ధార్యమాణం మనోయర్హి భ్రామ్యదాశు అనవస్థితం అతంద్రితోనురోధేన మార్గేణాత్మవశం నయే. వర్డ్ టు వర్డ్ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్. Translation and purport by the humble disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Word to word translation. Dharyamanam, being concentrated on the spiritual platform. Manaha, the mind. Yarhi, when. Brahmyat, is deviated. Ashu, suddenly. Anavasthitam, not situated on the spiritual platform. Atandritaha, carefully. Anurodhena, according to the prescribed regulations. Margena, by the process. Atma, of the soul. Vasham, under the control. Nayet, one should bring. Translation. Whenever the mind, being concentrated on the spiritual platform, is suddenly deviated from its spiritual position, one should carefully bring it under the control of the self by following the prescribed means. Purport. Although one is seriously engaging the mind in Krishna consciousness, the mind is so flickering that it may suddenly be deviated from its spiritual position. One should then carefully bring the mind back under the control of the self. It is stated in the Bhagavad Gita that if one is too austere or too sensuous, one cannot control the mind. Sometimes one may bring the mind under control by allowing the material senses limited satisfaction. For example, although one may eat austerely from time to time, one may accept a reasonable amount of Mahaprasadam, opulent foods offered to the temple deities so that the mind will not become disturbed. Similarly, one may occasionally relax with other transcendentalists through joking, swimming and so forth. But if such activities are performed excessively, they will lead to a setback in spiritual life. When the mind desires sinful gratification such as illicit sex or intoxication, one must simply tolerate the mind's foolishness and by strenuous effort push on with Krishna consciousness. Then the waves of illusion will soon subside and the path of advancement will again open wide. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha. Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha. हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. नमः ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामीनिति नामिने. नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे. जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद. हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे. हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. Hare Krishna. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in one of his bhajans, he mentions this concept of how in the material ocean, we usually call it Bhava Sagar, all of us have fallen and we are trying to struggle in this material world ocean, Bhava Sagar, like a fish. So he says, Arkeno Maya Jale Poditecho Jivamina. He's saying, O Jivamina, O fish, the living entity is fish, saying, how did you fall here in this Bhava Sagar and how are you trapped in this net of Maya, Maya Jale? And then he says, you don't know. Nahi jano badha hoy robe tumi chira dina. You feel you will be free one day. He's saying the nets of Maya are such a way. Nahi jano badha hoy robe. You will stay like this, bound up in the net of Maya. Chira dina. There is no freedom. So many times this analogy is given that we are in this huge ocean. Bhava Sagar. So one way in which this analogy is used is that this Bhava Sagar, this ocean is so long, it is so deep, you can never cross it. And many times we are told that unless some representative of Krishna comes or Krishna himself comes, you can never cross over the ocean, however expert swimmer you are. But another way in which this Bhava Sagar analogy can be used is that in this Bhava Sagar, there are many waves that are tossing constantly. So as soon as you mention waves, you should understand, sometimes those waves will throw you up and sometimes those waves, when they subside, they will pull you down. Up and down, up and down. This is also one of the ways in which we can understand the ocean. One is the length, another is the nature of the ocean. So imagine you are actually there in the ocean for some time, if you imagine. There is no boat, there is no one around you. So one is you try to look at the shore. And there is no shore in sight. All four directions, there is this endless water. But then, at least if you are peaceful, at least if you are swimming there, then there is some hope. One day somebody will come and rescue you. Now imagine, it's a turbulent ocean. Sometimes those ocean waves are tossing you up and down. So, first worry is whether you will stay alive. What if you drown? And then after you stay alive, if you save yourself from drowning, then the question is, when will somebody come and save me? So, in this ocean here, we can understand, physically we are tossed up and tossed down. What about the Bhava Sagar and what about the waves of the mind? The waves of the mind also toss us up and sometimes pull us down. How? So sometimes, you know, the situation is that if somebody other than you is doing great, maybe he is more popular, maybe he is more famous, maybe he is more successful, it's very difficult to accept it. And one of the reactions of seeing somebody else's success is that, oh, he has done such a lot and I have not been able to do it so much. So what is the use of my life? Then you go into depression. So if you see in the Chitraketu Maharaj's pastime, then one wife, because she delivered a child, she became the favorite wife of Chitraketu Maharaj. What about the other wives? It's not that he condemned them. It's not that he said, you are no longer my wives. The disease of comparison struck them. And they started thinking, oh, now that she has delivered a child and now she is getting so much attention, now what about us? And all that disease, it just spread slowly. So it is said, cancer, it's a malfunction of the replicating mechanism of the cells. It's not a disease. It's not some bacteria, virus or something like that. There's a rate of duplication of the cells and it changes. And then abnormal duplication happens or division growth happens. So how does it start? It starts with a single cell. And what is the size of the single cell? Something like 10 raised to minus 6. It's a very small. You have to see it under a microscope, is it not? So that one single cell abnormally duplicates. Then those two cells abnormally duplicate. So 1 to 2, 2 to 4, 4 to 8 and so on. And very soon, somewhere in the body, there is a small lump. And that lump, after multiple replication, is so small, you don't take it seriously. That's what we feel. 2-3 months pass by, it starts paining. And then you go to check up. And he says, hey, this is serious. This is cancer. So that whole big frightening disease called cancer, how did it start? It started from a single cell. Similarly, this disease of comparison, it only starts with a small thing. It's not that you compare with somebody in a very huge way. It's just that he has this one thing that I don't have. And then the mind starts playing games. And the wives of Chitraketu Maharaj, the co-wives of Kritadyuti, what did they do? What they did was, they fed poison to the child that was totally innocent. Second thing is, that child was the cause of happiness to their eternally depressed husband. For a long, long time, since the time he had been marrying one wife after another wives, 1 crore wives, he did not have a child and he's so much in depression. So for a long time he's sad, and their husband experienced happiness for the first time after a long, long time. And they killed the source of the happiness of their husband. So what happens to the husband now? The husband is depressed. What about they themselves? Obviously, in the palace, not that everyone has access to that baby. So who did it? Somebody insider has done it. So today or tomorrow it will be found out. So what did they win in this whole situation? So that disease of comparison, like a small cancer cell, it spread so much. Finally, they went to the extreme in which everyone lost. Kritadyuti became unhappy. The husband became unhappy. They were caught. They underwent a lot of negative feelings. The child is dead. So who won in this whole disease? So this is how the mind will trick you that, oh, this person has more than me. Now what is it? Oh no, you have something that you have. You have something that that person does not have. So this is how the waves of the mind, Bhava Sagar, as we say, they pull you down. And sometimes they push you up also. What is that? Sometimes in a meeting, sometimes in an office, you know, one devotee was telling me, how in an office meeting, there is a revision of some successful assignment that has been given. So there's a sales force and somebody has achieved something. And as soon as one person is honored, then there is somebody in that whole meeting who suddenly gets up and says, sir, I will do more than this person next month. So one person, when he sees another person's success, he gets depressed. And another person, when he sees another person's success, he says, what is this? I will do more than him. But in both situations, what is the cause of getting depressed or trying to outdo the other? It is not a positive feeling. It is not that genuinely I wanted to do more. It is just that I want to outscore this person. So there is a famous example of how there was one cycle race and one person was going ahead and then one person behind decided, I have to stand first in this race. And he put all his energy and pedaled so hard, he went past that first person. But in doing that, he was so much focused on outdoing the other person, he missed the right turn. There was a turn. And then he reached somewhere else, he's the first person, but he is not reaching the destination. He did not win the race. And then it came to know, in trying to outdo the other person, I missed the race. I went somewhere else only. Is it not? So that also happens. Sometimes while book distribution, we have observed, we're distributing books in a train, and then there is a group of friends who is sitting and you distribute books to everyone. And hardly one or two people actually open the book and read it to check out the contents. Everyone is looking at each other. It's a group. And then one person out of that, sometimes he accepts the book. He says, yes, how much money? And as soon as he says that, all other four will say, yes, 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 we also want to purchase. And sometimes if that one person, the leader, undeclared leader, if he says, no, no, hamare paas hai, then all other four or five people say, haan, hamare paas bhi. Is it not? So many times we have been trained to not take our decisions ourselves. It's called herd mentality. So in this herd mentality, neither will benefit spiritually, neither will benefit materially also. What are we doing? We are just dragging our lives. Is it not? So this is how the mind will play games with us. What about Suniti? Suniti was also one co-wife of King Uttanapad. And his other co-wife, Suruchi, was very beautiful, very attractive. She was the favorite wife of Uttanapad Maharaj. But did Suniti ever do something like that? Did Suniti ever try to poison Uttam Kumar? Did Suniti ever try to write a blog? Oh, why is this co-wife the most beautiful wife? And why is this wife the favorite wife of my husband? So when Dhruv Maharaj gets insulted by the harsh words of Suruchi and the silence of Uttanapad Maharaj both, then when he goes to Suniti, what is Suniti's response? Suniti's first word is, my dear Dhruv, do not give hatred to those who give you hatred. This is the first sentence that she says. She knows, Dhruv comes home hissing like a snake. And the news has already come from all the dasis, from the maid servants. So she already knows what has happened. She says, Dhruv, I know what is playing in your mind. Do not be tossed by the waves of, you know, throwing up and throwing down of the mind. Be self-situated. What is your problem? Your problem is you did not get a place. You want to ask it. Ask it from the right person. Do not become envious. Do not become hateful of the person who gave you hatred. Unko jo karna tha, unhone kiya. Aapko jo karna hai, wo aap kijiye. And then you will feel, is Suniti living a life of illusion? Does she not know what harsh words were spoken by the co-wife? She knows them. And she says, can I tell you, Dhruv? Actually, I am aware of the fact that I am not one of the favorite wives of the husband, the king. In fact, I should tell you that she is right when she said, she is the most favorite wife of my husband, the king. But she says, that's a fact. It's a fact. And I should just learn to accept it. If she is favorite, does not mean the husband, the king, has condemned me to die. So somebody can be favorite and you may not be favorite, but does not mean that you are supposed to now kill yourself. Is it not? So Suniti stayed in the palace knowing fully well she will be neglected by the husband. Suniti stayed in the palace and instructed her son knowing fully well that just because of her connection, Dhruv will never become the favorite son of King Uttanapad. And Suniti stayed in the palace post instructing Dhruv to go into the forest. So kam se kam, abhi tak to unka beta tha saath mein. Till now, at least his son was there, her son was there. At least one person loves her. Now that person also she has instructed, if you really want what you want, you go to the jungle, there the Supreme Lord is available, pray to him, you will get what you want. So in doing so, actually she has created more trouble for herself, is it not? She sent her son to the forest. Now who loves her in the forest, in the palace? Neither the husband, nor Uttam Kumar, nor Suruchi, nor anybody. But she says, this is the truth. Let me learn to live with the truth. And just because somebody does not love me, does not mean that everyone hates me. That other sentence we fill up. So it's possible that nobody loves us. Yes, that's very much possible. The Paramatma loves us. That's one person for sure. And the rest of the sentence we fill in the blanks. Nobody loves me means everyone hates me. No, does not mean like that. So we do not have to be captured by the ups and downs of the mind. We have to be careful that the mind does not make us a victim. We have to write our own script, is it not? So sometimes it is mentioned, you know, all these big movies that come. So there is this very nice producer, there is a nice director, there is a nice script writer, there is a nice casting person who casts, oh, this hero will fit into this role. There is a person who comes up with nice backgrounds or nice places where all those scenes should be shot. What about our mind? You know, all the movies, the false movies that our mind creates, who's the director? The mind. Who's the producer? The mind. Actually, very nice producer, a very low budget film, but it's actually a very high quality film. There's no cost. This film that the mind creates is actually the lowest budget film. But the quality of that film is so high, if you enter that film, if you start watching that film, you're doomed. You will be caught by the film. So film, if there is a scene which is sorrowful scene, you are full with tears. If there's a happy scene, there's a big smile on your face. What an amazing director the mind is. What an amazing producer the mind is. What an amazing script writer the mind is. What kind of a script is he writing? Totally engrossing. One moment you don't get free from the dream and from all the hallucinations that the mind is creating on you. The right dialogues at the right time, the right casting at the right time. So the best movie director is not this person and that woman. The best movie director is there with all of us, our own minds. Be very careful of this. And when we hear of these, you know, dangerous hallucinations and the dangerous tricks that the mind plays with us, they're unlimited. You know, we can just go on speaking endlessly on the mind. Recently our temple, Braj Bihari Prabhu took 4-session seminar, Mind Your Mind. So what, you know, there's so much to be discussed. But one thing is, whenever we hear about how this mind, you know, he's inside us, it's not that he's something outside us. So something outside us, we can be careful. The one problem with dealing with the mind, you know what it is? You can deal with enemies outside very easily, under training. It's just a question of learning the art. One problem of dealing with the mind and controlling the mind is, whenever you read any literature, how to deal with the mind, or whenever you are hearing some class, how to deal with the mind. The problem is, you will read all that, you will see all that, and before it enters your brain, it has to be processed through the mind.
Because the senses, the king of the senses is the mind. So whatever data is processed by the eyes, whatever data is processed by the nose, has to pass through the mind before it reaches the intelligence. What a dangerous thing. Can you imagine? The king is an autocrat, the king of the senses. And one day there is a seminar, how to overthrow autocrat kings, how to overthrow dictators. And the people who watch that seminar, how to overthrow the dictator, the cruel dictator, they have to get permission to execute all those tactics from the king only, from the dictator only. He'll never give permission. So every time we attend all these seminars and we read all the beautiful shlokas in the Bhagavatam mentions, the mind is so dangerous. It's like a paramour. So the paramour, you know, if some woman has some affair with a man outside the marriage, very dangerous. You know why? Because sometimes that paramour, in his infatuation, might kill the husband. And the original plan was never to kill anybody. The original plan was just to enjoy a little bit outside the marriage. But then, as it grows, the paramour goes wild. And the paramour becomes unpredictable. So sometimes the mind also becomes unpredictable. You just thought, I'm just associating with the mind for 5 minutes every day. Thoda sa usse bhi gapshap lada lete hai. And slowly the mind overpowers you and then kills all your spiritual ambitions. It all starts with a small thought. Is it not? So, one person was saying, those who think and rethink whether the glass is full or the glass is empty or the glass is half full. You know the eternal question? Optimist, pessimist, realist. Is the glass half full? Is the glass half empty? Is the glass empty? So, one wise man said, those who keep wondering, is the glass half full? Is the glass half empty? What is the glass? He said, all of them miss the point. He said, the glass is refillable. The situation can change. Today, if it is half empty, you fill it, it becomes full. You empty it, it becomes empty. So similarly, whenever we read about all these, you know, different ways in which the mind fools us and different ways in which so many great souls have fallen prey to the mind, Vishwamitra Muni is doing tapasya. In one moment, he hears the tinkling of the bangles and opens his eyes. There is one king, Agnidra, Priyavrat Maharaj's son, 5th canto Bhagavatam. He is meditating in the jungle, very self-realized person. And he also hears the tinkling of the ankle bells of one apsara called Purvachitti. Immediately the meditation breaks. It just takes hardly a moment or so. So whenever we hear something like this, it's actually very depressing. But mind you, the glass is refillable. Mind, there are ways to train the mind. So we'll just discuss about this. In today's shloka it was mentioned that this whole slip, this whole deviation, whenever the mind being concentrated on the spiritual platform is suddenly deviated from its spiritual position. So this sudden thing is being emphasized here. We also spoke about that gradual decline, but today in the shloka, it's about the sudden thing. So, usually when somebody falls down, somebody slips. You know, these are the days of the rainy season. So, all over our temple courtyard, there are these yellow colored boards, plastic boards. What does it say? Wet floor. Be safe. Why? You don't understand where there is water, and suddenly as you are walking, you fall flat on your back. And you might hurt yourself. Is it not? So that one moment of inattention can cause us a long time back ache or a back slip disc or something. We have to be very careful while we walk on wet floors this time. What sets off a big explosion? There's a huge bag of gunpowder. What will it take to explode it? One tiny spark in one small moment. So just, you know, some fire touches it. Doom. Yes? So, one moment of inattention while you're driving. 2 hours of attention, nothing happens. One small moment, there's one wink that you took extra and there's a big accident. So, recently I was reading how there is this one problem in social media nowadays, which is called, it's called deep fake. So what is a deep fake? There is actually a computer image processing software. It is based on artificial neural networks. Neural networks means how our brain works. So there are so many neurons interlinked with each other. It's not a linear process. How we make decisions in our life is not a linear process. So many impressions in the past, so much knowledge we have learnt in the past, and so many experiences that we personally had. Based on a combination of all that, we take decisions every day. So it's called a neural network. So many neurons intertwined with each other. So now, to duplicate our intelligence in machines, it is called artificial intelligence. So artificial intelligence is trying to simulate how exactly the brain works in computers. So that's called neural network. And there's one way in which we can, modify images and videos. It's called deep learning. So there's a portmanteau of two words. One is deep learning and one is fake. So when you combine these two words, deep learning and fake, something is called deep fake. So what is a deep fake? Deep fake is there are videos circulating of very prominent personalities, sometimes in politics, sometimes in sports, sometimes media celebrities, and they talk what you want them to talk. So actually that software, it totally analyzes the face and the way certain people speak certain sounds, like the sound R, I speak in a certain way. Somebody else will move his mouth more than me. So you catch a video of any person for 5 minutes and it processes. And then, can you imagine, you dictate a sentence and the face will totally run in such a way, the lips will move in such a way that it appears to exactly speak the sentence that you want it to speak. You know what it means? It means you can put your words in the mouth of big time celebrities. So now sometimes this is used for revenge, but the most dangerous thing that people are fearing is in today's times of communities fighting with each other and so much hatred based on communities and religion and my God and your God and all those things, God forbid if some kind of a deep fake is made on a religious leader and a religious leader is portrayed in that false video to speak something really, really horrible against another community. And you know, religion, faith is something where the logic stops working. It's beyond that, is it not? If my faith is hurt, if my emotions are hurt, everything stops. Now no more knowledge, now no more books, now no more nothing. Can you imagine the kind of riots? Can you imagine the kind of sudden outbreak of big time violence that can be created? So they are fearing, as long as you know, some funny videos are made where somebody respectable speaks something funny, that's the fun part of it. But people are fearing a video that is released by the religious head of some community abusing another community, and that will be really, really deep trouble, is it not? So that's how one moment can cause a slip. One spark can set off an explosion, and one deep fake video can change the history of this world. So that's how this sudden impact can always be very powerful. So in the history of Ajamil, it is mentioned, he went there to collect some Durva grass, from Samvit grass, some flowers, some fruits, ordered by his father, under authority. So he is not an independent minded person. He is himself a gentleman, cultured, and now he is following his father, and he is going there to get some ingredients to worship the deities. Everything about him is pure. His actions are pure, his history is pure, his intentions are pure. And then it is mentioned, Drishtva tam kam liptena bahuna parirambhitam jagam hrit shayavasham sahasaiva vimohitah. So it is mentioned, jagam hrit shaya. So lust, in a very gentlemanly way, in the Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam is Paramahamsa Samhita. So in Bhagavatam many times is, you know, very nice cultured words, hrit shaya, that which sleeps in the heart. What sleeps in the heart? Lust. It's always sleeping. But one moment, sahasaiva vimohita. One moment he saw one person was embracing another woman in the jungle, and that one small moment ignited rit shaya. The lust that had been dormant in his heart because of culture, because of his knowledge, because of his own character, because of following the orders of superiors, everything that we aspire for is already doing, and it just sparked off lust. And then what happened? There is a decline. 2.62, 2.63 of Gita, Dhyayato Vishan, that whole two shlokas, if you compare it with Ajamil pastime, you will see every word corresponding with everything in Ajamil's pastime. So, one interesting thing that we could learn from this is that this incident of a man embracing a woman is happening deep inside the forest. It's not happening in the city. You know what it means? It means is that in those days, although all these activities were going on, there was something called as culture. So what is culture? Culture is a set of customs decided by superiors, purvairapi maharshibhi, and then agreed upon by the current citizens of the country, and which are followed for self-preservation and self-advancement. If we follow culture, if we do not destroy the culture, we survive. If we do not destroy the culture, in that survival, there is also hope for future growth. One devotee asked me this question. You know, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj has a famous quote that collective unity is much better than individual purity. So just some days back, one devotee was asking me this question that, you know, in hopes of collective unity, are not we compromising the quest for individual purity? Now, sadhana was about self-purification. But then, you know, it is being mentioned that, you know, this is more important. And then, you know, slowly, as we do not focus on individual purity, and we just focus on collective unity, how long will this collective unity last if there is no focus on individual purity also? So if there is a group of people with no purity, how long will they stay together? So nice questions. And then while answering, we were saying that, you know, what stopped the glorious Gaudiya Matha from going ahead from the levels at which Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati brought it? They did not deviate from the tattva of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, Lord Gauranga is the Supreme Lord. They never changed anything of that. One thing that they did was, he said, come together and do it ahead. And one small thing which they could not do was, they could not form a unified body and stay together. So that stopped one of the most glorious missions in those days, without any transport, without any modern means of communication. 64 mathas established throughout Bharatvarsha. And everything has stopped now. Most of it. We can't use the word everything. So one thing that is infighting. Srila Prabhupada has also mentioned that ISKCON does not face any dangers from outside, but it really does face dangers from inside. So what is the danger from inside? The danger from inside is when devotees within them, you know, they pick up petty fights, is it not? So that's why I mentioned how Srila Prabhupada also, one of the most prominent things that he would always emphasize is book distribution. If you distribute books, you will please me, yes? And one of the most successful book distribution parties is the Radha Damodar Sankirtan party. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Vishnu Jan Maharaj, they started with one bus, a Greyhound bus. And at the end, they had 35 Greyhound buses running one after another, full of devotees, touring all of America, distributing books. Amazing. But one effect of that Radha Damodar Sankirtan party was, there was a rift that was created between the Grihasthas and the renounced order. So whenever they would visit a temple and they would do morning program and all, some young boys in that temple would get attracted to these amazing sannyasis, and there's this fleet of buses standing outside distributing books, highly successful, and Prabhupada is praising them. Never before such book distribution has happened. And in the morning, that's how it is described, that those young boys would leave with that party. And all the Grihastas said, we preach to them, we work hard on them, and one day this Radha Damodar Sankirtan party comes and these two effulgent sannyasis, they preach, they talk, and they are very amazing, and they take off those boys. What about our temple then? How are we supposed to run the temple? When this news reached Prabhupada, if you read Lilamrit, Prabhupada stopped the Radha Damodar Sankirtan party. So nothing is as pleasing to Srila Prabhupada as book distribution, but when that book distribution was creating a rift between devotees, he said, I do not want book distribution. We can do book distribution another way, much slower, but at least we will exist. If we don't exist, this super duper book distribution that is going on today will come to a halt. At least if we stay together, that book distribution will go on, and tomorrow we can find out another way of staying together at the same time doing book distribution in an amazing way. So based on these examples, we can see how the great devotees, the great souls, they do not emphasize much on getting results. One result that they always seek is stay together, stay together, stay together. Is it not? So that's how culture is very important. And in one sense, all of us have this unspoken responsibility to maintain culture. That if at all there is something in us, because of our past association, because of our past habits, that is really not in line with the Vaishnava culture, at least what we can do is, we can, you know, do it somewhere, you know, somewhere where we are not in the middle of everyone. So these two people who wanted to do something which is not really sanctioned, they went to the forest. Bole, idhar karenge to kya hai? Hum to karenge, lekin logo ko bhi taklif denge. So at least what they did is, they did it somewhere else. And then, you know, there are ways of tackling it. But sometimes what happens is, in the name of being honest, in the name of being, this is how I am, we do it right in the middle of the town. And when we are doing something in the middle of the town, not the same activity that they are doing, we have our own diversions from culture. So then what happens is not only we get affected by kama liptena, we get affected by dvesha liptena, we also affect others because that's the reason why this culture was made. Certain things are not supposed to be done in front of everyone, is it not? So that's also one thing in which we can contribute to the control of mind. There are so many of us trying to battle with our mind. There are so many of us trying to control our mind. This topic is an eternal topic. How to control the mind? One way in which we can contribute is that we control ourselves to the best extent possible based on whatever we know, and in that way we contribute to the society, we can contribute to the culture of society. Let us not disturb others at least. Yes? So, to be aware of the danger is also a blessing. Till the time we are not aware of the danger, sometimes they say ignorance is bliss, but it's not bliss. It's bliss for a moment and then later there's a lot of poison that comes. So, how to deal with this mind? This mind, is it our friend? Yes. Is this mind our enemy? Yes. Uddharet atmanatmanam, na atmanam avasadayat, atmaivi atmano bandhur, atmaivaripur atmanaha. The same mind is our enemy, the same mind is our friend. How is it a friend? Oh, today it is rebelling against you, today it is going against you, but what about tomorrow? If you follow the process, if you become a successful yogi, then what is waiting for you is that same mind you tell, manmana bhava madbhaktu, my dear mind, please remember Krishna. So that time is going to help you, savai manah Krishna padaravinda. That same mind is going to be your tool to remember Krishna's feet, smaranam. We were reading 1st canto, 5th chapter, shloka number 27 purport. So if you check out this purport, it mentions the gross body and the subtle body both can be used in service of Krishna. Prabhupada is saying. And then he says, the gross body should be used in the process of archana. And he says, like bringing water for the deities, sweeping the floor of the deities. And then he mentions something very amazing. He says, and the subtle mind can be used in the service of the Lord by shravanam, kirtanam and smaranam. So smaranam I can understand. But Prabhupada says, and the subtle body, very clear, the gross body should be used in this way, the subtle body should be. And the subtle mind should be used by hearing the glories of the Lord and chanting the names of the Lord. So I was thinking, I always thought, this is my small understanding, shravanam had to do with the ears. Kirtanam had to do with the mouth and the tongue. Asati sati, that's how they mention, is it not? That you should engage the chaste tongue in glorifying the husband, the Supreme Lord. Otherwise it becomes a sati. It becomes unchaste. So shravanam has to do with the ears. The tongue has to do with kirtanam. And then comes smaranam. So if you do shravanam and kirtanam nicely, if you engage the ears and the tongue nicely, then comes smaranam. That has to do something with the mind. But if you read this purport, 1.5.27, he says, Prabhupada is saying, the subtle mind has to be engaged in the activities of shravanam, kirtanam and smaranam. It means shravanam is not an activity of the ears. The ears are just a tool. The shravanam has to be done with the mind. It means there has to be absorption in shravanam. It means chanting is not something to be done with the tongue. That's only a tool for producing the sound. Actual chanting has to be done with the mind. And smaranam, of course. So, here, if we do not control the mind, it runs loose. It's like a wild horse. It takes us all over. And what if we control the mind? Then it is mentioned here, it rebels with double intensity. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, while commenting on this particular shloka, is saying, if you try to ever instruct the mind to control lust or greed, it will rebel with double intensity. Abhi tak kam se kam shant baitha tha, usko jaise hi kuch bologe, aisa mat karo, aur chillata hai wo. So what to do? You need it in a fit shape. What happens if you hammer the mind too much? What if you harm the mind so much? You know, you do not cooperate with me for sadhana. You are not doing shravanam with absorption. You are not doing smaranam with absorption. You are not doing kirtanam with absorption. I'll beat you to death. Sometimes, you know, there is a servant who's totally disobedient. And sometimes the rich man, the owner, will beat him black and blue. Abhi samajh mein aaya? Main jo bolta hu, chup chap suno. You can't do that with the mind. This is the problem with the mind. Why? That same mind is your tool to attract Krishna's mercy later. That same mind is going to sit with you and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. So you can't beat him also. And then if you, okay, so I won't beat him, then I'll try to gently tell him, please don't do that. He's not going to listen to you. He has his own plans. So this is the part of the problem of mind management. You cannot go to extremes. You cannot, you know, pamper him
By keeping feeding. So here it is mentioned in the shloka. Na ati ashnatastu yogo asti. Is it not? Krishna in the 6th chapter says, if you want to be a yogi, neither can you eat too much, neither can you eat too less. Na ati swapna shilasya. And he says, neither can you enjoy senses too much in order to keep the mind happy, neither can you starve the senses in order to keep the mind, subservient or obedient to you. So how to deal with this mind? So one thing that we can do is, we can negotiate with the mind. Now sometimes there are these two parties that do not talk with each other. They have a big argument with each other. They won't look at each other. Then a third person is required, is it not? The third person has to sit and say, okay, what are your demands? What are your demands? So one of the rules of negotiation is, in the negotiation, because there is already a conflict there, do not try to dominate the other party. As soon as you try to dominate the other party, the negotiation stops and the other party says, now no more negotiations. That's why we cannot dominate the mind. We have to talk with the mind. One of our devotees, he had been on a tour to South Africa. And in South Africa, there are these many private tiger reserves. So just like we have many government-run reserves in India, Jim Corbett National Park and so on. So in South Africa, there are more private parks than public parks. And then there are these people who have befriended the tigers and the lions, and you can actually go in a vehicle there and see tigers and lions from very close up front. They are fed nicely. So when they see you, they don't see you as a piece of flesh, food. They see you just as some stranger, inquisitive stranger, jigyasu. So this one trainer who has spent such a long time taking care of a tiger, one day unnecessarily, because they say familiarity breeds contempt. One day he just started playing with his tail. Unnecessarily, there's no need. He played with tail. The tiger gave him a slap. So don't play. Just the fact that I'm playing with you, I'm sitting next to you, does not mean that I have lost my power. So slap the other 6 stitches on the face. He didn't kill him. He didn't maul him. He didn't, rip him open or something. Just slapped him. 6 stitches here. So then he understood, this tiger finally is a tiger only. Just because you have made him docile, kept him in a cage, similarly the mind also. If a yogi feels, if a devotee feels, last 10 years, this mind has cooperated with me. Chup chap baju mein baithke japa karta hai mere saath mein. Chup chap, shravanam, kirtanam, nicely cooperates with me. Then you should understand, one day if you play with the mind, one day you do something to irritate the mind, it can slap you, can be a very powerful slap. Yes? And so this negotiation of the mind, one example of this is Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami is telling in his book called Manaha Shiksha. He's telling, my dear mind, please do not be uncooperative with me. Please do not listen to asat cheshta. Please do not listen to gossip. Please do not engage in mundane talks. Please do not drink the ass urine of duplicity. There are many harsh words that are used. Essence, if you see Manaha Shiksha, it is that, my dear mind, as far as I have seen, anybody who tried to control you did not work. It seems you have controlled the mind, and one day, boom, it just rebels. So he's saying, negotiating with the mind. Just look at this divine couple, Radha and Krishna, how beautiful they are, how attractive they are, how kind-hearted they are. You do a little service and they focus on that little service and they don't focus on the so many faults. Who can be a better master? Kamva dayalum sharanam vrajema. So please do it like this. So we are reading 6th canto, 1st chapter, shloka number 62. This is immediately after the shloka that we read before. Sahasaiva vimohitam. How Ajamil, in a moment when he saw that scene, he got affected. That is 61, this is 62. What happens to Ajamil after that one moment of exposure to something that he should not have seen? So the English translation. As far as possible, he patiently tried to remember the instructions of the Shastras, not even to see a woman. With the help of this knowledge and his intellect, he tried to control his lusty desires, but because of the force of Cupid within his heart, he failed to control his mind. So if sometimes, we feel there's no need to negotiate with the mind. Ye mind vagare kya hai? Wo to Gita mein bola hai, 7th chapter, 4th shloka. Is it not the mind is subservient to the intellect? I'll use my intellect. I'll use all the Shastric notes that I have made of different classes. So here it is mentioned, it won't work. We'll read the purport, what is Prabhupada's advice to us. Unless one is very strong in knowledge, patience, and proper bodily, mental, and intellectual behavior. So this is why how I connected to the culture part that we were speaking on. What is the importance of culture? Importance of culture is proper bodily, mental, and intellectual behavior. So three things: knowledge, patience, but culture also. Unless one is very strong in knowledge, patience, and proper bodily, mental, and intellectual behavior, controlling one's lusty desires is extremely difficult. Thus, after seeing a man embracing a young woman and practically doing everything required for sex life, even a fully qualified Brahman, as described above, could not control his lusty desires and restrain himself from pursuing them. Because of the force of materialistic life, to maintain self-control is extremely difficult unless one is specifically under the protection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead through devotional service. So somehow, yes, there are these tools, but then there are so many situations of fall down also. Sometime it is mentioned one devotee went to Srila Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, is there some chance to control lust? Prabhupada said, impossible. This devotee, he was really eager to know. Again he asked the same question to Prabhupada, can we control lust? Prabhupada said, impossible. Third time again he went to Prabhupada. Prabhupada thought for a while and said, Govinda Ichha. Rishika can be controlled only by Rishikesh, his pleasure, his service. So it seems, you know, this knowledge is not going to help individually. There is a combination, knowledge, patience, and culture. So if we really want to improve ourselves, there has to be a combination of culture, knowledge, patience, and also, as the last line mentions, unless one is specifically under the protection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead through devotional service. We have to engage ourselves in devotional service. And today is the day, tithi, of Gundicha Marjanam. So Gundicha Marjanam, that whole event, if you read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu calling all his devotees on the previous day, saying, all of you come, together we'll engage in devotional service. And when we together engage in devotional service, then the gross dirt and the subtle dirt was taken out. So similarly, when together we engage in devotional service, we stay together, collective unity is better than individual purity. Then from the Gundicha, where currently the Lord is not there, the Lord is in another place. And we want to bring the Lord to the Gundicha temple. So similarly, our heart is also dirty right now. And we have to work at least on this Gundicha Marjanam Tithi. We can pray to the Lord, my dear Lord, please give me association of serious devotees, sincere devotees who will help me, encourage me, motivate me, support me to first take out the gross dirt. Lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, illusion. They'll help me take it out. And then the secondary cleansing of Gundicha temple. What is that? The subtle anarthas. Naam, Puja, Labha, Pratishtha, and so on. Kuti Nati, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati mentions. So the gross dirt was first taken out. That itself is a huge task. And then it seems, you know, all the devotees thought the job is done. To baith gaye sab log shanti se. Then Lord Chaitanya said, okay, now we go for a second round. Now we take out all the small cracks and all that. So Lord Chaitanya, by this Gundicha margin, is telling us, knowledge may not work. And somehow in Kali Yuga, knowledge also is not there. Culture individually may not work. Now in today's age, culture is also not on our side. Patience, very difficult to speak about patience. Yes, but in the purport, Prabhupada is saying, knowledge, take it as much as possible. Patience, take it as much as possible. Culture, take it as much as possible. On top of it, put the cherry on the cake. What is the cherry on the cake? Is engaging in pure devotional service along with devotees, just like Gundicha Marjan. And in this way, there is a chance that Durdantendriya Kala Sarpa Patali Protkhat Damshtrayate. Prabodhanand Saraswati is mentioning, when one engages in the devotional service of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this Kevala Ananda Kanda, then it says, the senses which are very dangerous are like serpents with fangs, poisonous fangs. One bite, gone. But he says, the fangs lose their poison. So, ghar mein ek saab hai, like usme poison hi nahi hai, just ghoom raha hai. It's no longer dangerous. So he says, the senses don't go away. But the senses become non-dangerous. The senses become safe. Why? They are engaged in the service of the Lord. So in this way, even the sudden slips, we can be protected from. But all that requires knowledge. So there is Srimad Bhagavatam for us. Then there is association of devotees. Our contribution to this whole process is the protection of culture that is given to us by our spiritual master, culture that is given to us by our Guru Shishya Parampara, and then engaging enthusiastically in primary and secondary cleansing of the Gundicha temple of our own heart. So today we can all pray to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, my dear Lord, please give us sincere devotees association and may we clean the Gundicha temple of our hearts. In this way probably we will be able to control our mind. So thank you very much. Jai Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda ki jai, Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari.